I love my local history. Well, various other subjects I like doing as well, but this is good. I went down recently at the early part of the summer to the Museum of Cambridge, what used to be called the Cambridge Folk Museum until, well, about 2 years ago. I think it's been rebranded. It still says that above the lintel, but I don't suppose you'd really want to get the paintbrush out too soon and change it. It's at the foot of Castle Hill. Those that are local know about that, with Northampton Street. And in the studio with us this morning, Hilary Cox, kind of no stranger to Cambridge 105, but we'll leave it there. Also, and Dr. Shelley Lockwood, who is here for the first time, the project manager for Capturing Cambridge. Ladies, good morning, cheers. Nice
good, morning. Good morning.
Good morning.
Now, we've got so much to talk about. Now, hopefully we can guarantee that one of you will come in on once a month now in a regular series.
Sounds
to talk
good.
About some of the updates you're doing. Over this weekend, there's the Open Cambridge, and also you're going to be looking at a project about the history of shopping in Cambridge. Now, I'm a local lad, and I can remember McFisheries being on Petticurie. Somebody may have already approached you about that and all the smells that used to come out the shop and the way you used to flush everything out from the fish tank onto the street in those days. And it used to go down the drain. It was just water and a fishy smell always. But that's probably for another day. We should actually explain what Capturing Cambridge is all about. Shelley, how long has this project been running?
Oh, thanks, Phil. It's been running for 2 years now. It started off as the Mill Road Capturing Cambridge project and came to the museum a year ago. And Hilary and I have been working together on it since January. And it's now a City Council funded project, and it focuses on the Capturing Cambridge website, which is an interactive social history map of the city.
How many, you're based over at the Cambridge Museum, if you just told the listeners, how many days a week do you work on this project, Shelley?
We work 3 days each over there. And on a Monday, the museum is closed to the public, but Hilary and I are there, and we are encouraging people to come to the museum on a Monday, people who wouldn't normally access the museum. So we have different groups.
We do, on a Monday. As Shelley said, it's closed to the public, and we can offer access to people that wouldn't necessarily come into the museum otherwise. So we've had various groups. We recently hosted the Cambridge Refugee Resettlement Group, and some new Syrian families came, which was lovely to be able to show them around the museum and talk about some of the objects and shared histories and listen to the different stories that came out of that. We're doing a project actually called Shared Stories, Shared Humanity, which is about interpreting the some of the objects that we have in the collection. So we're inviting many different residents and groups to come in and just have a look around and talk about what some of the objects mean to them. So, for instance, we've got a fantastic Fenland sort of grain sieve that was a very typical tool used in Fenland, and it's with many of the tools that we have in our room there. Somebody from Bangladesh was telling us about how her grandmother used to make similar sieves out of bamboo, and then somebody from the Caribbean was remembering her mother working on the fields, and then a Kurdish man was telling me how when he was born he spent the first 3 nights of his life in one of these grain sieves, and it separated the good from the bad, and he said that it must work because he's very good.
So
it's about recognising our shared stories and our similarities and our differences as well, I think.
And that's very important to bring the museum, the collection items to life. They are domestic items to do with everyday life on the whole, and working life as well. And those are things that wherever you're from, whatever culture, they will have some sort of resonance. And it's really important for us to keep that collection alive and to have it interpreted by different groups of people, telling their stories using the objects. And so we find out more about our objects and what meanings they have for people, but we also get to compare with others.
And not just in Cambridge, but you've got, for instance, eel catchers' devices as well being used in the River Great Ouse some years ago. I think there's about one eel catcher still left at work, but you've got a lot of artefacts, and they're on the various floors at the Cambridge Museum as well.
They are, and actually that basket is part of the Open Cambridge Shops and Shopping Trail that we've put together for this weekend, isn't it?
That's right, because we discovered that the eel grig, as it's called, was made by basket makers in Cambridge who had a shop on the Market Hill called Hutt's Basket Makers. They became Shrives a bit later, and we've got a wonderful photograph in the collection of the shop front with all the baskets of different kinds hanging up, and a wonderful eel grig just like ours in the doorway with the owner, and also the butter baskets. That's another thing. There's Cambridge butter used to be sold by the yard, the length, and so we have a basket that was a yard long to put a yard of butter in, and they were also made by Hutt's in Cambridge. So that's formed part of our shopping trail.
Sort of, well, in those days it was probably housewives, not wanting you to sort of sound sexist, because it probably was the wife would go out and buy a yard of butter for your household, or would it must have got chopped up a little bit.
It would have been chopped up a little bit, and although it was housewives, also students and colleges, and the undergraduates were allowed 3 inches of butter. That was the regulation university measure. And so, yes, it was chopped up. So it came in yards, and you could buy it by the yard, but it was also chopped up into smaller sections.
Hilary, you're a volunteer. Shani, you work there.
I'm not actually.
Oh, you're not. You are. You're in the payroll.
I am.
Even better.
I actually make a living. It's amazing.
It's good. It means that's really good to know. It means obviously double the research power available to you. You're finding lots of people come along, just that say, well, you know, there might be of the grandfather, grandmother generation now that might remember, say, World War II, remember what might have happened to Cambridge when the Luftwaffe did strafe, I think, Mill Road Bridge. And there was the incendiary device that went off or was dropped by the Nazis during World War II on Park Terrace, I think it was.
Isn't That's it? Right.
Do you get people still that can recall? Well, they're still alive very much with us. They come along, recall these events. The
exactly.
other thing is, of course, you get some audio transcriptions from some people sometimes.
Yeah, we certainly do. We do. Shelley, you do the audio,
yes.
Don't you?
I'm a historian by training, and more recently I retrained to do oral histories, and that's a large part of the Capture in Cambridge project. We have oral history recordings from local people on the website, and we encourage people to try and record their relatives or friends telling stories and share them with us, which we can do via the website. But it's really important to have that more recent living memory as well. Obviously, it's important to capture memories for the generation who are almost no longer with us, who can remember pre-war and wartime memories. But it's equally important for us to gather memories of shopping in the 70s and 80s, because that was a very different experience from how it is now. And the Cambridge streets look very different now from how they did then. So we're interested in capturing people's memories from the recent past as well as further back.
You have the most astonishing website.
Thank you.
This is rich with resources. You went out and got it developed for you as a website. We should tell the listeners the URL so they can go and look at this, capturingcambridge.org. And I'm just, at the moment, just sort of flying around the city, various spots, various points, and along Mill Road, of course, you've dotted it out with lots of blue dots, because that's where the project originally started from. You've got sound bites from people. You can actually hover over Mill Road and then find one of these blue spots, find out what it's about. And I just happened to land on Mrs. G from HG's electronics shop, which still exists today, down by the Mill Road Bridge. I've gone in there and bought widgets and sprockets and things like that before. And she's got some amazing memories. Did you work with a professional website developer to get this all put together?
Yeah, the origins of the website were in the Mill Road History Project, and that was a Heritage Lottery funded 2-year project that came to an end before the website came to the museum. And they did a fantastic job, and they worked with your neighbours just here, the district, to develop the actual website.
And so it's our neighbours we can go to. Right. I have to go around the corner and congratulate them on this. It's absolutely superb effort. We've actually got time to play a clip to give listeners a sample of what can be found on there, with your permission, which I've already got. Now, Mrs. G Senior from HG Electronics, and I do remember, I don't know if she's, I know she's still alive, I think.
Yes, she died recently.
She died recently, because I remember seeing her, you know, not so long ago. And that's a shame. But, well, she's an archive now, and she's a memory. But she shares our memories now of the old bathhouse on Guider Street.
There was the separate days for men and women. And on a Saturday, the men used to queue. I used to see long queue in Guido Street, and two ladies ran the baths. They kept it beautifully clean. And out of curiosity, I never told my husband this, I went and had a bath there because I wanted to find out what it was like. I'm pleased now because of the experience. It was they gave so much water. I used to feel as if I was I felt as if I was drowning. Hot water, you know, to bath in. It was all wood, and you could see how well they scrubbed the wood every time around the surround around the bath. Mm.
What an extraordinary memory. That's and isn't it fantastic that we've managed to capture that from somebody
it's
who
wonderful.
Sadly is no longer with us.
And that was an interview conducted by one of the Mill Road History Society, as it now is, volunteers. And that's something else that Hilary and I are encouraging people to do, to come along on a Friday afternoon to the museum to talk to us or to email us, phone us at the museum, if people are interested in finding out how to make oral history recordings for themselves and to volunteer on the project and get perhaps their own memories or that of their family members up on the website.
You headed all around the city because it grew from the Mill Road History Society's original development. You've got several good projects going on. And as I say, you might want to talk, Hilary, about the new project, you know, sharing memories of shopping. Shops and shopping very soon.
That's right. It is starting very soon. So it's part of Open Cambridge. Every Friday, Shelley and I hold a community drop-in for people to come along between 2 and 4 at the museum to see how they can get involved. This Friday, it's specifically about gathering and sharing stories, photos, memories of shops and shopping in Cambridge. So come along to the museum, to the Enid Porter Room. We'll have the kettle on and we're going to get some cakes in. So just come and join us and share your stories. We are also going to be at Cambridge Market. It's from 11 till 4. We have a stall there for Open Cambridge. And again, just asking people to come and have a chat, look at a lot of the photographs and memories that we'll have there for people to share. And we'll have a big map of the market where we'll be asking people to write and draw their own memories and stories on there.
And you'll be able to collate these all up onto the website with this wonderful interactive map, which people can find now if they go to capturingcambridge.org. Mm-hmm. I've just been in the Mill Road area, but, you know, you can just go all over the city.
Yes, we've got a new community editor in the Queen Edith area, so suddenly many, many dots have appeared around the Queen Edith area, which is wonderful. And we're hoping to work more with Trumpington Local History Society and other places.
And 100 years of coconuts.
And 100 years of coconuts at the Abbey Stadium to just get more and more dots and things for people to look at and to inspire them.
And then Cambridge United have got an archivist, so you've been working with
them? Patrick, certainly have. Yeah, working closely with Patrick, and he's going to be posting some of their links and stories that he's collected as well onto our map.
And he's a great link to our community cabinet because Pat came along year ago now to set up and curate an exhibition about 100 years of coconuts in our community cabinet, sort of as a dry run for the wonderful museum he has now at the stadium. And so we're encouraging groups or individuals who have a collection or a story of interest based in Cambridge and they would like to show some of the objects to come and fill our community cabinet in the museum for a month at a time.
And you have a big story board, a big sort of pull-up, very, very large affair, which I think is on the first floor because you did show me 2 or 3 months ago now. And we'll be updating that every little while. Which is
we will. Yeah. Absolutely, yeah.
Yeah, which was an amazing attraction in its own right. It's worth the admission fee. We should talk about when the museum is open as well, promote you, because you said you're closed on Mondays, except for dealing with sort of small groups that want to come along and chat with you.
So we're open Tuesdays to Sundays, 10:30 to 4:30 for visitors, and at the weekend, Saturday and Sunday, we also have a tea room where you can come along and get a cup of tea in a proper china cup and a nice piece of cake.
Very nice.
It's one of Cambridge's little hidden treasures, just slightly out of the city centre, but long before you have to ascend the hill.
Also, in our courtyard, we've got this lovely community herb garden from Make Do and Mend, actually, and we did a memory cafe about herbs and what they mean to us and the memories that they evoke through that as well. So people, if they want to just drop into our courtyard, take a seat, bring, you know, they can just chill out there, have their packed lunch, gather some herbs for themselves to take away. It's open, you don't need to come into the museum. We've got quite a few interesting things in the courtyard as well.
That's amazing, yeah. I mean, each month what we want to do is just work on one aspect of Cambridge. Maybe, ladies, next month you can report on the memories that you've had from people's shopping experiences.
Yeah, and also from the river. We're doing some work with Rowan about gathering river stories as well. So we'll be doing some more of that on the 25th up by Jesus Green Lock, having done it last weekend for Mitchums and Moore.
And the weekend after, so this coming Saturday, we're at the marketplace, as Hilary said. So we're in the middle of Cambridge Market, 11 till 4 this Saturday, collecting stories about shops and shopping. But then the following Saturday, the 17th, we're at Cherry Hinton Festival, looking to gather stories locally in the Cherry Hinton area. And we'll be dressing up, we will be reprising our wonderful Strawberry Fair stall, which was, we channeled Victorian lady entomologists with their large butterfly catching nets because we were doing capturing memories, creating history, just like capturing butterflies.
I happened to spot Hilary trying to get into the Strawberry Fair this year, actually, with you.
I did manage to get in,
yes?
Actually.
I'm just trying to get entomology nets.
That's it.
And it did work in the end.
It did.
Unfortunately.
Yeah, we've got some fantastic Strawberry Fair stories as well. Can I just say about the Facebook page too,
yes,
please, which is the Museum of Cambridge. So www.facebook.com/TheMuseumOfCambridge.
And you've also set up a Facebook.com page, which is for the event Memories of Cambridge Shops and Shopping.
Have indeed.
Yeah, which is available for people to look at online as well.
Yes.
Ladies, thank you so much.
I look forward to
next month, and we'll go shopping, so to speak, together anyway. We'll play probably some more memories of some of the that magnificent audio sound bites you've got here in locations and some of Cambridge's old characters. Have you got anything on Snowy Far, for instance?
No, we would love, if anyone has any recordings, if anyone recorded Snowy talking about what he does or photographs and so on, please come and see us at the market on Saturday or at the museum on Friday afternoon, or just contact us via Facebook or the website.
There must be somebody out there.
Absolutely.
Even if it's our friends at the BBC or somewhere like that, have got somebody's archives that they're willing to share with you.
That would be great.
That would be great. Report back.
Yes,
we'll
expect you again next month. Shelley,
lovely.
Thank you very much. Hilary, thank you for coming in there.
Thank you, Phil.
To talk to us.
Thank you.
That's Dr. Shelley Lockwood, the project manager at the Museum of Cambridge, with the Capturing Cambridge project, along with Hilary Cox. Thank you very much.